Amen. Tonight's sermon title is The Imperative of Youth Ministry. And you might think that I'm going to talk about the importance of a church having a ministry to youth. I'm not. I'm going to talk about the imperative of youth having a ministry in the church. Just notice how much our young people participate in our church services. Even as young teenagers, when they're capable, on Sunday morning, they participate in our worship service through music and sometimes other ways if possible. Sunday evening, we have always had our young people involved in our services. My wife and I had a very strong passion about this and initiated this many years ago when we first came here, but not only here, in other places as well. Many years ago, I encountered a church that had children's church all the way up through sixth grade for all services. And so when a young person went into seventh grade in that church, they had never yet experienced an adult worship service. Consequently, they were having a great deal of trouble with behavior of teenagers in the service because they didn't know how to act. They're coming out of 12 years of playtime, activities, crafts, didn't understand the importance of reverence in a worship service. We helped them change that, and it made a huge difference in that church. We determined when we came here, we would start out right, and you see the effect in young people's lives as a result. It's important for young people to be exposed to things in the church early, to see adults worship, to hear adults pray, to hear adult sermons. They can comprehend. You'd be surprised how much very young children even can comprehend from sermon. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Some churches wait too late, and as a result, lose a lot of their young people. But God loves those who seek him early. That's what it says here in the verse. It's in the Bible. I'm not making it up. You see it on the page. I love them that love me. And he says, I love those that seek me early and find me. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 15, we read just a little part of that this morning, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. And I want to point you to the next part of the verse, which are able to make thee wise, in particular, wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, but true in general as well. The scriptures are able to make young people wise. Wouldn't it be important for an entire society of people to have wise young people? Remember the verse that says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child? Oh, and the other part of the verse, the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. And if you don't drive drive it far from them, what happens? The foolishness remains in the heart. How many foolish adults do we have running around in our world today? Do we wonder or have to wonder why there is such chaos and confusion in the world? It's because foolishness is bound in the heart. It's never been driven from them. But the scriptures can have a tremendous impact upon a child's life. The scriptures themselves are able to make children wise. Not only wise into salvation, but other aspects of the Christian life as well. And so in verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Now, I suggest to you it's a little hard to continue in something that's never been started. You have to get them started. Get them started young. And then they can continue. I had a friend in high school. It was kind of an odd threesome of us, actually, three of us. One fellow was a Jew, and I was a Christian, and the other one was an atheist. And we were buddies, and we did things together, and I tried talking to them. But the young fellow that was an atheist was told by his mother not to listen to or consider anything about religion until he turned 21. And so no matter how much I tried to talk to him, he just would not listen. What happens by the time he's 21? His heart is already hardened, and it's harder to hear. The sooner we introduce children to the Holy Scriptures, the sooner they can continue in the things that they have learned. Then we are told in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's much harder to start something as an adult than it is to start something as a child. For example, learning a language. Children adapt to new languages. It's very easy for little children to learn multiple languages. But for adults, I've tried learning Spanish 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times. it's hard to stick when you grow older. Getting something started when they're young is very, very important. Thus, training of young people must begin in the early ages. Psalm 71, verse 17 and 18. Or just verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Again, if you start children young, it can have lasting effects in their lives. Man by the name of John Milton Gregory wrote a book entitled The Seven Laws of Teaching. It's not necessarily a Christian book, but it has Christian applications. Law number one is a teacher must be one who knows the lesson or truth or art to be taught. Of course, that should be obvious. How can you teach something you don't know? And yet, in the scripture, it tells us there are people who try to be teachers and don't understand what they're talking about. about. But here's the thing, law number two, a learner is one who attends with interest to the lesson. You see, it takes two to seal the deal. A teacher can teach, a parent can teach, but a child has to receive. So young people, while we're talking about the importance of what parents and adult teachers are doing, we're talking to you about the importance of what you must do. You must listen. You must have ears to hear. You must pay attention. Law number six says, learning is thinking into one's own understanding a new idea or truth. That's an interesting concept. No matter how much a parent teaches, if a child doesn't think it into his own understanding, he won't be able to continue in it because he doesn't have it. On the other hand, if a parent doesn't teach, the child never has the opportunity to learn it. The best possibility for a child to be able to continue in the things of the Lord is for a parent or a teacher to train up a child in the way he should go. But then there is this. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's not just for adults. It is important for us to teach this principle to children. It's not enough to hear the word of God. You have to do it. You have to do. And that's why we have you do around here. To put into practice the things that you learn. It's a biblical principle. It's a command from the Word of God. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Should we impose upon children to do things so young? You remember about Samuel, how his mother had no children. She prayed with tears that the Lord would give her a son. And when he did, she promised that she would dedicate him to God's service. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. Now, how old are you when you are weaned? 16, 21, you're pretty young, aren't you? Pretty young. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was, just to make sure we understand, what was he? Young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house. Elkanah is Samuel's father. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child. Samuel learned to do because it wasn't enough to hear. It was important for this child to learn to serve. And a young child, his parents left him with this strange man. But we have to believe that what Hannah has taught Samuel to this point was sufficient for Samuel to understand, even as a very young person, that he could serve the Lord. Second Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 1. Second Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Who's 8 years old? Abigail. Are you ready to be the king? Well, queen. Josiah was just your age. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16, who's 16? David. Oh, you guys are on the other either side of 16. How old are you girls? 14. You're still 13. David's 16. At the age of 8, Josiah became king. At the age of 16, he began to seek the Lord. At age 20, he purged Judah and Jerusalem of idolatry. You might say, Samuel and Josiah were special people. No, they were just children. Do you understand that? They were just children. Samuel was blessed to have a mother who dedicated him to God and prayed for him, while Josiah's father was a disaster. His grandfather was a little different. Now, in the beginning, his grandfather was a mess. His grandfather was Manasseh. But there was a point in Manasseh's life when he was captured by the enemy and the Lord worked in his heart and he was born again and his life entirely changed. And Josiah, as a young person, would have seen the dynamic difference in his grandfather. And it made a tremendous impression on his life. And thus, when called upon, apparently didn't have a choice. Young people, you ever feel like sometimes you don't have a choice? Something is imposed, a responsibility is imposed upon you. Are you ready? Josiah was ready. True, at 8 years old, there's things that can be overwhelming by being a king, but understand, by the time he became 16, whatever training he was given prepared his heart that at that point in his life, he made a very decisive decision. My reign as king is going to be about God. A young person can make that decision. My life is going to be about God. Acts chapter 13 and verse 5. It's the first missionary journey for Paul and Barnabas. Saul, as it was still called at the time the mission journey began. And they take a young man with them. Acts chapter 13 and verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. The same young fellow that had been in the Garden of Gethsemane and ran away when they arrested Jesus, he must have been pretty young at that point. Because he's still a little immature. We don't know what age he is at this point. And immaturity doesn't exactly go with age. But there were some tough things he saw here. He's exposed to something he had apparently never seen before, and it shook him. Verse 6, and when they had gone through the isle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now, John Mark, as he will be known, anticipated such wonderful things on a missionary journey. We're going to go and tell everybody about Jesus, and everybody's going to believe us. Some young missionaries can have starry eyes about what the results are going to be. And then they faced opposition. Young people, sometimes life can be hard. Can you face it? By the grace of God, you can. John Mark wasn't ready for that. Paul, whose name comes about in verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and had to confront this sorcerer and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And young John, immature John Mark, sees all of this, and it is just overwhelming. In verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. I can't take it. Actually, though, his struggles were a benefit to him. And he would learn from them. And years later, Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had a great discussion about John Mark. Actually, this isn't years later. We'll get to that in a moment. This is at the end of the first missionary journey, and Paul and Barnabas are going to go on the second missionary journey. And Barnabas wants to take Mark, and Paul says, no, he's not ready. I don't know which one was right. Barnabas apparently had a successful ministry, and he took John Mark with him. But we do learn this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, yes, that's John Mark, and bring him with thee. Paul is speaking, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. The struggles that intimidated John Mark became lessons in life. And it made him stronger. I wish I could tell you some stories. Oh, I can tell you some stories from when I started out in the ministry. I was 23 years old and a pastor of a church. Oh, yeah, I was graduate of Bible college. But in the next 4 years, the struggles that my wife and I went through nearly broke us. But instead, by the grace of God, they made us. They made us better servants. They strengthened us. You can face some hard times in your lives, young people. Some challenges, some opposition, some very intimidating things. Isn't that encouraging? Aren't I encouraging you tonight? Look out for what's coming. It's coming. But even that, God can use in your life to make you better. We need to encourage all of you young people to have ears to hear, to listen to the lessons and the truths that your teachers and your parents teach you. We encourage you to think into your own understanding these amazing biblical truths. We encourage you to participate here and learn to do and not just hear. We want you to be able to hear when God calls and understand that being a pastor, a missionary, a pastor's wife is a very viable calling. God still calls. We need young people who are ready to respond. If we expect the church to continue to be effective in the next generation, We must understand how important it is for youth to learn to serve and minister now. In the same way that it's hard to continue in things you haven't learned, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 tell us regarding learning the scriptures, it's hard to continue in ministry if you haven't started at a young age. The sooner you begin to serve the Lord, the easier it will be to continue throughout your life. That's the importance of youth ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our young people. And I pray for them that they would hear and do. I pray for our parents and our teachers that they would have the wisdom to instill within our young people the lessons they need to learn, to give them the guidance that helps them get started. And we pray that our young people will continue to serve you throughout their lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.